You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
I want my face on the Titantron. I want my face on these turnbuckles. I want cups, posters, spoons, knives, forks, shoes, socks. I want everything with my face on it. Number one thing being, I want you to bring back the WWE ice cream bars.
Ice cream! Sure! Good!
Look at that, I just made you $1 million in ice cream sales.
And to that, ladies and gentlemen, the most burning question in wrestling today is, what would you do for a CM Punk ice cream bar? But I know I can't talk about this for an entire hour. Ladies and gentlemen, CLW 83 presents to you North American Wrestling Connection, also sponsored by WrestleChat. My name is Nikki Heyman, and yes, I am back in living color somewhere out in the middle of Minnesota, so you'll have to pardon me if I keep phasing out. I decided I better take my show back, and I see that I've brought some of the usual suspects with me. First, the highly educated and slightly legal, Mr. DJ Peckins.
Well, CM Punk wants his face on the Titantron and on the turnbuckles, but come this Monday, his face might be on a milk carton.
Saying, wish you were here, or wish you were elsewhere. Let's see. Who else do I have here? Ah, yes, perpetual student, also somewhere in Toledo, Mr. Josh Hennick.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing?
And I have my number three, our resident comedy expert, Mr. Brian Henniger.
You know, Nikki, I would say hit him with the folding chair, but I'm going to refrain because I'm just lucky to have you back. Welcome back to the land of the living.
And Brian, I'd rather hit you with the folding chair.
Well, I'll have to hit you again.
Just make sure it's not in the head, otherwise you'll get fined.
Yeah, it'll be across the back.
Just to recap my last months of mirroring this adventure, yes, I've had to pack up, relocate further north and a little west for a little bit better pay, a lot more work, and hopefully some bigger rewards, but that's neither here nor there. My reward this Monday night was the amazing, and we heard part of this, amazing microphone work that CM Punk is capable of, to the point that he was talking circles around John Cena and Vince McMahon. This stuff's liquid fried gold. Why would he leave now, DJ?
Well, from what I hear, I mean, he's burnt out. He's been doing this for, you know, going on a decade and a half now, from going from wrestling in the backyard all the way through the independence. He was the king of the indies, wrestling in Japan, wrestling in Ring of Honor, developmental, and now for the last 5 years in WWE. And from what I gather, and hopefully you all have had the chance to read a great interview that CM Punk conducted in GQ, which is online. You can find it through the interweb. But yeah, it seems as though that Punk feels like this has become a job. And for a lot of people, you know, they don't like their job, you know. So for him, I guess it's just to sit on that. He wants to sit on the couch and do nothing. And I can respect that. So,
given how hot this angle has turned, Brian, do you think they might have still worked something out Punk might go away for a few months but still come back.
I think that's what we're going to go with. I believe Punk is just suffering some professional burnout, and he's very fortunate that he's in a position, I think, where he can afford to take some time off and, I guess, get his bearings back. But I think the WWE would be absolutely insane not to at least negotiate with him and give him whatever he wants to keep him around.
Which leads to the two promos, which may very well just be an exaggeration of what goes on behind the scenes. Punk had the ability to take the hometown Boston crowd and turn them against their homeboy Cena.
And then turn them right back in his favor with the Yerk.
Right. Now, you know, Punk's going into his hometown for this pay-per-view, and we've got Cena, who's supposedly the uber face, but there's actually kind of a corporate, you know, Punk almost making an inside corporate joke at Cena. Am I seeing Austin Rock?
You know, Nikki, that wouldn't surprise me. I think that we're almost going into a situation where we're not 100% sure who the face is or who the heel is. Because of Punk is being a heel, but he's justified in his heelness, I guess, way. And Cena, I think, finally realizes that, you know what, maybe it's time to pass the torch briefly, because you and I know he'll have the champion back by WrestleMania.
To me, though, Nikki, it feels less like Austin Rock. It feels more like Austin Bret Hart, around the time when Bret Hart turned quasi-heel and became, along with Davey Boy and Owen and Brian Pillman, became that un-American type gimmick. It feels like that's almost the double turn that's happening, where, you know, Austin turned babyface and Bret Hart turned heel to an extent. That's kind of what it feels like. I know Cena's not going to turn heel. I know they're not going to pull a double turn out of this. You know, you never know. We've been begging for them to turn Cena heel to freshen up his character. But as far as the Austin portion of that formula goes, CM Punk is right there with him. And it's ironic because when he started this whole thing with the work shoot promo a few weeks ago, he was wearing the Stone Cold T-shirt. So,
getting some of the quality work out of Punk and realizing that, you know, next Monday night we might not see him again. That's why this whole promo, this whole angle, to me, screams of that thou doth protestest too much. Or that little thing that happens in sports where the announcers say, oh, this never happened, and it happened. I'm just curious. Something nagging at me, guys, and I'm wondering if anybody else kind of feels it too.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Go ahead.
No, Brian, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Well, honestly, I'm 50-50 on this. I mean, I'm 50-50% sure that this is either he's really leaving or this is a work. An elaborate work, mind you, but a work nonetheless. And I honestly, it is so compelling, I might actually order the pay-per-view this night, which I don't ordinarily do, just to see how it turns out.
And that's kind of what's dragging me into it. A, you know, we've got this hot angle. B, we've got one of the hottest crowds that WWE likes to play in front of, Chicago. And, you know, not only just because of Punk being native, but even, you know, we've had a few other superstars comment on how loud Chicago gets. Jericho debuted in Chicago, and he loves the absolute reception that he's gotten. We've seen a lot happen in Chicago. I mean, heck, we were even hot at WrestleMania 22. So that was the fact that the allure of Money in the Bank matches, which surprisingly, while, you know, being one of the big things that used to sell WrestleMania, is trying to sell its own pay-per-view and is now second bananas to a world title match. Now, isn't that just refreshing?
I don't know what to say. I think I'm lost words.
Well, to be fair, I think they've done a really good job in selling three of the main matches on this pay-per-view. They've done a really good job selling Christian and Orton. I think Christian has become a really good heel, and I think the Mark Henry Big Show match has gotten a good build. They've let Mark Henry become a monster again, and he's very comfortable in it, obviously. And of course, the main event is going to be Cena Punk. I think they've put together a very solid pay-per-view here.
You're right, Nikki, too. Go ahead, Josh.
I would like to refute one of your points, at least from a wrestling perspective.
All right.
Because the Big Show versus Mark Henry, it's going to be bully shoe ugly. It's not. They have never put together a good match, and Lord knows they're not going to put one together Sunday. However, from a story standpoint, I do see what you're saying, but I really fear that Big Show is going to go, oops, I win, and Mark Henry is going to get shoved right back down the card again.
And you're right, Nick.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to the whole Cena-Punk dynamic. You're right. There are a lot of forces at work here. And there's one added kind of fact of it that hasn't been mentioned on the message boards too much, and maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part, but I don't know if we're going to get to it later on in the show. In the Facebook group, I think Jason posted the video of The Rock's response to John Cena's house show diatribe in Australia. And one of the interesting parts of his video is he said The Rock is going to make him return. And it's going to be before WrestleMania, and it's going to be back at a legendary venue where it all began for The Rock. Now, that could mean Survivor Series, because I think that's where his first match was. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Survivor Series is at Madison Square Garden.
Yes,
but it could also be this Sunday, because his first WrestleMania was 13 against the Sultan, Rikishi, and that was also in Chicago. So if you throw The Rock into that dynamic, imagine if The Rock costs Vince McMahon, you know, and costs John Cena the WWE Championship at Money in the Bank, and CM Punk walks out with the belt. Imagine the hype that's even added just by one appearance to their WrestleMania match, you know, 9 months from now. That's another added dynamic. I don't think it'll happen. This stands on its own. You can save a Rock appearance for that. But, hey, you know, why not go for broke? Why not go all out and then really get people talking?
Well, the problem is, I guess at this point, now we've got to figure out what audience do we want to cater to. Do we want to stay catering to the guaranteed fans by having spoilers, Cena wins and Punk walks away in shame? Or do we cater to smart? I'm not calling you cool, TJ, but Vince take the risk of getting Cena off feet. Here's my problem with the fired stipulation with Cena Punk. We did this already. We did this several months ago in the middle of the Nexus angle.
And Punk pointed it out on TV, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to see if Cena's going to get fired, it better freaking stick. I mean, I want him off TV for for a couple of months. I just need him to go away.
Say till Survivor Series.
There are a number of scenarios that could go down. There are a number of scenarios that can go down. you have Cena win in Hulk Hogan style, and that's it. Just, you know, crisis averted. You have CM Punk win and take the belt with him, and Cena's quote-unquote fired. You have CM Punk win. You have one of the Money in the Bank winners cash in. You know, Cena's doesn't have to be fired because the WWE title doesn't leave Raw. You know, and CM Punk doesn't take the title with him. You could have CM Punk win and beat the Money in the Bank loser. Have first time ever that somebody cashes in and loses. I mean, you could have involvement from Vince McMahon. He could screw over Punk. He could screw over Cena. You could have involvement from Colt Cabana and Luke Gallows and the Kings of Wrestling. I mean, there's just so many different ways you can involve different people and kind of keep this storyline going or squash it in the bud. But you can at least have some interesting scenarios come out of it so that they kind of get that bounce from this pay-per-view, because I have the feeling that this is going to be a damn good buy rate. This is going to be, for one of the off Big Four pay-per-views, they're going to do a strong buy rate, and, you know, you have to have that bounce from it. You have to, you know, keep the momentum. If it's spoiler Cena wins, what do you gain from it? Nothing.
Well, I actually, and go ahead, honey.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, you're the hostess. Go.
Okay. See, that's what I'm hoping for, the fact that, you know, they've been, I hate to say it, but somebody gave Punk the ball. Punk ran with it, and it's holding it up going, all right, look what I did. Top that. Do something, you know, let's do something to top that. Let's do something to beat that. All DJ are well worth the $40-$50 that we're all going to have to throw down to see this pay-per-view. And alas, with me being 15 hours away from my usual suspects to come in and watch it with me, it's going to be coming straight out of my pocket. But this is what I'm willing to put the money down for. I mean, Cena Punk alone has sold this pay-per-view. And as DJ's pointed out, there are so many scenarios that I'm hoping that we will not be disappointed by what this main event does, because there will be outrage, and there will be heat in that arena, hopefully close to One Night Stand 06.
And I want to make one last point too, Nikki. It's the when they did the work shoot promo, when CM Punk did that, pulled off that magnificent promo 2 weeks ago, I was left thinking at the end, okay, where do they go from here? There's so many different ways they could go. Then just this past week with the public contract negotiation, I said, that was magnificent. Where do they go from here? There has to be that same kind of result at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday where you go, wow, you know, that was a great ending. Where do they go from here? They have to keep you guessing. It's the quintessential action soap opera, to use WWE's own terms. Well, make it like a soap opera. Make it intriguing again. Make it the twists and turns unpredictable. So
yes, have us find out that CM Punk is actually his brother. Did it? Well, you said a soap opera.
Well, that's what they call themselves. They call themselves the action soap opera. But I'm reverting back to the Monday Night War era, Monday Night Raws and the Monday Nitros, where you never knew what was going to happen next, where they always had twists and turns that weren't Vince Russo swerves, that didn't make no sense, but that everything kind of had a logical progression to it that made sense and that kept you interested, that kept things not stale.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I don't know if you all have noticed this, but the last two WWE pay-per-views, because we had Capital Punishment first, now Money in the Bank, have had very well-built main events or very well-main event matches. And I think that, I don't know who's feeding what to the WWE writers, but I think they're starting to look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point, Brian, but the thing is, they had, in the Cena-Miz match, it was basically for 80% of it was Miz beating the hell out of Cena, and then all of a sudden he taps to the STF, or he says, I quit. Then the last match, you know, R-Truth had that magnificent build to the main event promo, and then he jobs to a little kid's soda, you know? So
yeah.
they still have to finish the job.
Exactly. Well, like I said, they were built very well. They just didn't deliver. I think, I'm going to be honest, I honestly don't see how the WWE could screw this up. I think they would have to screw up so bad, worse than the main event of WrestleMania 27.
I can think of a way.
Don't say it.
Finger poke.
They are not going to finger poke this.
Or 5 second, 1, 2, 3, game over, Cena wins.
Lol. I would seriously consider not watching anymore.
Yeah.
And that comes from someone who watches every week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Insult my intelligence.
No finger pokes, no 5 second drops. Although it would be funny if Punk was the one doing the finger poke or the 5 second drop. But then we know he's getting waylaid by a Money in the Bank guy. So before we, let's see. I do wanna fight over a little bit to the Mark Henry Big Show stuff because I agree with Brian that it has been very well built and we thought we had a minor casualty because of some of their antics. Drew McIntyre, it's my understanding, is okay, despite the fact that he was flung off the stage, hit the lighting stand
mm-hmm.
behind the ramp, and I was told there were ref X's, which I missed. I admit I missed. But word got out through Twitter, perennial backstage wrestler in waiting, Tyler Rex, tweeted that Drew was okay.
Yeah, his impact has came back well, so he's all right.
Good.
Must be all that time he spends in the gym. I mean, what?
Oh. Yeah.
If you get that inside joke, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I did. Ooh, Chavo. That's dumb.
Okay. Enough of the silliness. I will admit I did not see Rock's YouTube retaliation to Cena, and we've already discussed the fact that he might, you know, you could crash the party at Money in the Bank, he could crash the party at Survivor Series. Where was I going with this? Oh, yes. This would be perfect timing for Rock to show up because the WrestleMania travel packages are to be available
mm-hmm.
very soon. I've been in contact with another group of super fans with the potential. Money is not the problem. Getting the availability and the flight might be. To get my butt down to Miami in case this happens to be Undertaker's last WrestleMania.
And you are going to rock South Beach, sweetheart.
Question, is he at 18-0 or 19-0?
19-0.
Okay, this pretty much is his last WrestleMania.
And I don't care if he faces... I don't care if he faces Triple H again. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. What else have I got on my list here? Granted, I don't talk much about TNA. I do that for a reason. I like my... Zach?
Are you okay?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Let's go.
No. I don't talk much TNA, and that's because I value my sanity and my wrestling experience. It's my understanding that Bound for Glory this year will be in Philadelphia, and they are smart enough to not go to the arena, especially if they're still teasing Sting Hogan. It's my understanding that they put the belt back on Sting. I didn't watch Impact this week. Did anybody hear?
Yes, I did, and they did put the belt back on him.
What's the deal with the clown, posse? And I'm not talking ICP.
Well, basically, they're trying to make Sting into a wrestling version of the Joker from The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's essentially become Heath Ledger. And the four guys who were gonna his clown posse were four members of the X Division, because there's been this whole feud lately where Bischoff and the Man's been trying to hold down the X Division, so they decided to take care of Immortal, or take care of Immortal because they're trying to hold them back, and they were on Sting's side. And can I just say, for the record, I really have been digging Crazy Evil Sting. He has been doing a lot better in this role than you would expect anyone to do.
I just want to add one thing, though. He reminds me more of the Jack Nicholson version of Joker than he does of the Heath Ledger version of Joker.
Yeah.
If I compare him to the latter, it looks and feels to me like a cheap ripoff, and I'd rather him just kind of stick with the Crow character. But I really don't understand why TNA, getting back to the wrestling side of it, why they're going back to the well again. He's 52 years old. He hasn't been able to put on good pay-per-view matches for the last year or so. Granted, he's been working with the likes of drug-induced Jeff Hardy, but that's another story for another time. But
I agree.
Look at Ken Anderson's last run. I mean, what stands out? What's memorable about his last title run?
Nothing.
You're right. It reeks of late era WCW, where all these guys had the belt. None of the runs were memorable. You couldn't tell any of them apart. And the belt meant nothing, and the top guy in the company really meant nothing. So,
although you have to respect anyone who has the balls to wear a camouflage tuxedo to the ring.
That is true.
That takes some guts.
or a business version of his tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Abyss, while we're on the topic of Abyss, I just want his character to go away, because he's just annoyed me to no end.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, he's a more hyperactive version of Kane with very limited mic skills. It doesn't really work.
Yeah, he worked really well back when he had James Mitchell to talk for him.
Exactly.
Right. And Kane doesn't need a picture, and he's having fun trying to decide whether he's going to be face or heel. And
on a near nightly basis.
Well, this time, you know, there might be something to it, because if they wanted to, that I would love to see them try to polish him back up to where he was about this, a little later, about fall of last year, when he was essentially beating the crap out of The Undertaker. I would like to see him start doing Randy Orton, but that just might be my personal bias.
Yeah, I want to see anyone beating Randy Orton, but that's,
I have a feeling, though, they're looking at our three monsters here, Kane, Big Show, and Mark Henry, and maybe just looking for somebody else that's
Considering those three are either horrible wrestlers, which is Kali, or Kane Taker, who are getting up there in years, because Kane's 42 and Taker's 47. Yeah, they need someone new, someone fresh. Jinder Mahal won't work.
Right, and I'm not even considering Jinder Mahal at this point, because they're still building him.
Guys, I think it's time for Silent Rage.
Andy Levine, huh?
I like
Andy. Enough to sarcasm.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of Bound for Glory in Philly, here's something we're not covering. Ring of Honor is essentially running now in Philadelphia, right? I mean, they run in other parts of the country, but Philly's their home base.
Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm wondering. If Vince Russo makes the drive to Philly, do you think Jim Cornette will try to make good on his promise?
What's his promise? Because I forget what it is.
of that email he sent to Terry Taylor where he said he dreams of killing Vince Russo, and if he could get away with killing Vince Russo, he'd do it in a heartbeat and everything.
Can't wait for October.
Well, my only problem is that that Cornette wants to get away with it. Otherwise, he could make his bail money selling the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know I'd buy a few hundred copies.
And
tell you
here's
what,
the thing. You and I know that Jim Cornette is just crazy enough to do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I met Corny back at the ROH show in Dayton in February, and he was selling autographed pictures, so I had him sign one to me, and then he added, at my request, of course he was signing this for a bunch of other people too, but the inscription after his autograph was "Screw TNA." So I'm sure that he could sell some autographed pictures to little Jimmy, signed Jim Cornette with the inscription, "I killed Vince Russo."
Mm-hmm.
This company? Cricket.
Yeah.
Damn it, no one wants to watch
Cricket anymore. I know that one. Cornette face.
Yes.
Fuck this company.
So, let's see. What other announcements can we discuss?
Hey, Nikki, did you happen to get that message that I sent you?
I saw it, and I haven't had a chance to watch it, and I don't want to run this while we're on the air. So let me see. Macho Man Randy Savage benefit called A Blemish on the Dean Wrestling. Tell me.
Oh, I heard about this.
No, God.
Okay, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it. This promoter named Dino Puglia announced he was having a wrestling event to benefit in tribute of Randy Savage to benefit St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. The problem was, I'm just the opening headline. The show hadn't even reached tag team matches when the fracas erupted. The band demanded to be paid. The undercard wrestlers wanted their money too. Facing an angry backstage crowd, veteran wrestling promoter Dino Puglia announced he was having a cardiac emergency and took off.
Mm-hmm. And with all the money in his pocket. Let's send Balls Mahoney to the front door.
Here's another funny aspect, too. They didn't have a proper sound system, so when they did the 10-belt salute to the Macho Man, he just took the microphone and said ding repeatedly into the microphone 10 times.
Yeah.
That is a honky-tonk promotion.
Gentlemen, if that man's having a cardiac emergency, I've got a room that he might want to go sit down in.
Yeah. Throw him in there full on. He needs it.
Thank you, Dino.
Thank you, Mrs. Heyman.
Yeah, he advertised, among others, Lanny Poffo and Honky Tonk Man for the show without actually receiving the word that they would be there. He just kind of threw them in regardless.
He probably didn't even invite them. And that's unfortunately, that's just how some promoters operate. I'm not going to use any names.
I think we found Ian Rotten's successor.
Yeah.
Not that we were looking for him, but we found it.
Although Dino's probably never going to do this again because all the wrestlers are going to be after his head.
Well, unfortunately, some of the fastest ways to spread information is to tell a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestlers are worse gossipers than old ladies, and I will attest to this. Not because I'm an old lady. Anyway, what else have I got in my little list here?
The possibility of, say, the Kings of Wrestling and Cabana, if you know what I mean.
Just the fact that Punk's been name dropping Colt, do you think he's going to get his job back?
There's an outside chance, but a bigger chance goes to the King of Wrestling because all three haven't re-signed with Ring of Honor. They're Kings of Wrestling, from what I've heard, are really looking into becoming full-fledged members of the WWE. Cabana, I'm not terribly certain either way. But he's got an injury angle that's going to be playing out over the next month in NWA Hollywood, so... yeah.
I might be able to find out more, but I'm not permitted to discuss my sources on this.
Yeah.
I do know a little bit that it would take quite a bit to get Colt to go back to the Fed after his unceremonious dumping.
Yeah, I have a good idea as to where you're going with it, thanks to his podcast.
Yeah, so I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
Hey, Colt Cabana doesn't need the money to spend on supplements anymore because, you know, I did unspeakable things to a GNC store for him.
GNC store! You are not innocent!
Could someone explain that story to me? Because I didn't hear it.
Oh,
well, I contacted Cabana a month or so ago because I listen to his podcast all the time going back and forth from home to school, which is about 4 hours. Because I commute about it every weekend. I go back home for something. So I'm usually listening to his Art of Wrestling podcast. Anyway, he's always on there talking about, hey, you know, this is a free podcast, so I'd like you to support me, you know, buy some merch or, you know, tell a friend. So I was feeling kind of guilty about myself. I already have some Colt Cabana autograph merch. I got at an OVW show in Cincinnati, oh boy, three or so years ago. But I figured I was due for some more since I do collect autographs. Anyway, I advertised on his MySpace page probably about 5 years ago these autograph pictures. And they were in the style of the 1987 Topps baseball card, but it was like him in a Ring of Honor shirt, the Ring of Honor hat, and it was the Ring of Honor logo where the team logo goes, and it's pretty cool. So he said he had some more left sitting in his closet somewhere, so he autographed it to me and sent it to me after I paid him. And I had some supplements lying around that I don't use, like protein powder and creatine and stuff like that, from the Arnold Classic. They give out free samples. So I had a shitload of them from this past March. So I put
it in an
envelope. No, I'm not. I just go for the celebrity sightings. Okay. Nikki can attest to that. So I took a bunch of that stuff, put it in an envelope, and sent it to him, his address for his free stuff in snail mail in Chicago. So he usually gives shout-outs to people on his podcast, and it was episode 47, Jimmy Corderas, and at the end of the episode, he said, oh, I'd like to thank DJ for apparently raping a GMC store and sending me all their products. He goes, you trying to tell me something? He goes, well, I'll put it to good use regardless. So that's the whole story. Basically, he accused me of raping a GNC store, and I tweeted him, and I said the GNC store said yes. So yes means yes. I had its consent.
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Apple PC Junior.
Go to hell!
And I quote, since you guys are so busy pimping GNC and Colt Cabana, maybe some other pimping needs to be done. You passed the midpoint of the show, so I've had to stop you. So, guys, we got to take a minute and sell some merchandise of our own. As you know, this is the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 network. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Who wants to drink from the fire hose? We know you do, but we're not that kind of show. Tune in weekly for odd news and a new weekly co-host. Because we go through co-hosts like Lindsay Lohan goes through parole officers. It's the Webmaster's Corner, every week, only on the CLW 83 Network.
Social issues,
foreign affairs,
hard news,
the rising cost of living,
political perspectives,
unemployment numbers rising.
You ain't gonna find any of that here.
I'm Jim Williams.
And I'm Chris Palmer, and together we are the Jersey Connection.
Give us a listen every week on the CLW 83 Network. Check CLW83.com for program listings.
And cut.
Because we don't know what f***ing time we're going to be on.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news?
3, 4, maybe 5?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1.
WrestleChat.net,
the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, this is Carl Schneer, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
Good time to masturbate.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
And welcome back. Now that we've taken care of business and paid a few bills, hey, Stat Boy, you got a spreadsheet handy?
Yes, I do.
All right, we've got some pick'ems to do because we've got a pay-per-view on Sunday that I presume everybody here is going to order, right?
Or watch from Bowling Green.
Fair enough.
Why, yes, I do intend to pay the full market price for this pay-per-view event.
I don't, but I'm going to somewhere where it's perfectly fine.
I, alas, have not had enough time to research a proper blast area, so I am probably going to be doing this all out of pocket. But that's okay. So, let's see. I've got the matches in front of me. Yes, there are only 6 matches, but please do consider that the 2 Money in the Bank ladder matches themselves will probably cover a third of the pay-per-view on their own.
Yeah, that much is true.
So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'll make it pretty straight, but it'll be 7 points.
Okay, that's going to be interesting.
2 of those points are for the main Cena Punk.
Yeah.
So, let's do it in the order that you have, and I don't think I have anybody else in the chat room who is going to be part of this.
Unless Jim wakes up, because I do see his name there.
Okay, I haven't seen a whole lot of chat going on in the chat room, so.
Yeah, admittedly so.
That's okay.
All right, so let's get this party started. The bottom rung match in the match that I care about the least by far and large, Kelly versus Brie Bella for the WWE My Little Pony Championship.
Not going to go there. Unfortunately, there has been almost zero build-up short of Cole making fun of the women's division and making fun of Kelly and believing everything out of the Bella's mouth. So, to be honest, they really haven't given us a reason to care about this match. So I understand if anybody wants to flush. That boy, judging from your mode on this,
mm-hmm.
we flushing?
No, I am not flushing. Not where they're so every point, as I should know, Britain reigning cruiserweight champion.
DJ, you're getting kind of hollow out there. Is everything okay?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay, because you're breaking up pretty badly.
Stat Boy was popping in and out as well, but
Stat Boy.
I haven't picked anyone yet. I am picking Kelly, though, to win the match and bore me to tears again.
DJ?
I was going to flush, but I realized something reading the CM Punk GQ interview. I guess when they were on the babyface and heel buses in Australia, John Cena was off doing some promotional work, and the person on the bus, the babyface bus on Raw with the most seniority was, ding, 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 Kelly. So I'm just going to pick her for that reason.
Brian?
I'm not going to flush. I think it's going to be Kelly, maybe as a way to pay her back for the Randy Orton comments.
Ooh, good point.
Ooh. I think I'll take it on that. Kelly retains. Because
and a sweep from Jim has also...
Yeah, Josh, you're cutting out big time.
Yeah, you're cutting out hard.
Yeah.
Let me try something. Be back.
Hope we don't lose him. He's our only Stat Boy.
Well, and I think Tony Reale's a bit too expensive, so I guess he's only one in our price range.
Is there anything better now?
Actually, that does sound a lot better.
Much better. Much
okay,
better.
I just had the microphone cord.
Oh,
all right.
Doing it again.
Oh, yay. I'm going to go to the chat then, unplug myself from the mic. Let's just continue this. Next matchup before I leave is Big Show versus Henry.
Okay. We have two monsters that have been knocking heads. Mark Henry is mad at the Big Show for taking out his frustrations on him after the automobile, quote-unquote, accident with Ricardo Rodriguez trying to run him over with a Ferrari. I'd be honored and flattered and flattened. So, Brian, what do you think? Who do you think walks away from this monster mash?
You know, I think it's a toss-up. Who am I kidding? It's going to be the Big Show.
Okay. And Stat Boy has told me he will be doing the rest of the pickums from the chat room. So I will just take my... I'll just peek over there. Let's see. And Jim and Stat Boy are both also picking the Big Show. DJ?
For me, it was too close to call in the beginning, but I got to thinking, Big Show is on Raw, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And he's not going to get involved in the main event picture on Raw. He's kind of mid-card for now. But really, if you think about it, beyond maybe Sheamus and Christian, there aren't any real big-time heels on SmackDown, so... Maybe they might want to throw in Mark Henry somehow in the main event picture for SummerSlam. So I'm going to say that Mark Henry has a better chance of kind of moving to the upper level of the card on his band. So I think he needs the win most, and he gets it.
I think I'm going to throw my hat at Mark Henry as well because, A, you're right. They do need more heels. B, this is pretty much Mark Henry's last big run because, mind you, he's been with the company for almost 15 years. And see, Big Show doesn't need this win. He, you know, from here he can float into another feud, whether it's with Del Rio or returning Ricardo Rodriguez or We'll find something for Big Show to do. You always find something to do. Okay. Our next match is the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match, where we have 8 fine competitors: Justin Gabriel, Sheamus, Heath Slater, Cody Rhodes, Finn Cara, Daniel Bryan, and Wade Barrett. Now, this one, you know, this one, I feel the door's kind of is pretty open. I see some really good potential stuff in there. So, Brian, go ahead. Who you got?
Well, you know, if you had asked me about a week ago, I would have said Sheamus because he's been WWE champion, and it's obvious the company would like to build around him, but he didn't really set the world on fire when he was champion. As much as I would love to see Sin Cara win it just to piss off the people who can't stand him, I'm going to go with Wade Barrett. I think they're grooming him to be the next big name wrestler, so it's probably going to be Wade.
All right, let's see. Jim picks Cody Rhodes. DJ.
Well, I was looking at both of these Money in the Bank scenarios, especially on the SmackDown side, is who needs the briefcase the most. And on the SmackDown side, I had it down to Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes. But really, Wade Barrett, after losing the Intercontinental Championship to Ezekiel Jackson, hasn't really done much. Cody Rhodes kind of has a good program going with Sin Cara, with Daniel Bryan, with Ted DiBiase. So maybe he can kind of move into that that mid-card. And he even had a clean win, I believe, over Ezekiel Jackson in a non-title match. So he has at least some things going for him. I'm going to go ahead and pick Wade Barrett because people aren't talking about him enough, and damn it, they need to talk about him more.
Wade Barrett. Who succeeded in life despite the fact that he can't seem to say the letter T.
Well, he talked himself up pretty well tonight on SmackDown and had fun watching Sheamus and Sin Cara beat up each other and watch Slater and Gabriel go through their messy breakup and Cody Rhodes and Daniel Bryan having a nice match despite the fact that Cole was crapping all over it. So, as I look at this field, Kane doesn't need it. Slater and Gabriel are not ready. Cody Rhodes, as DJ pointed out, is in a very solid mid-card program and is probably good where he is. Sin Cara, that'd be awesome, but it is way too bloody soon. Sheamus, it would be interesting, but he's already had the title, and that kind of defeats purpose. I know they did it with Kane last year, but it kind of defeats the purpose. So, yeah, I'm down to flipping the coin between Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett. But it was my feeling when Barrett dropped the Intercontinental title to Zeke that this was the direction they were going. So, yes, put me down, but wait, Barrett. And that shall do it for the SmackDown Money in the Bank. Oh, and Sackboy picks Sheamus. So, on to the Raw Money in the Bank ladder match, which has eight individuals that all wouldn't look too bad with a briefcase under their arm, with maybe two or three exceptions. Alberto Del Rio, R-Truth, Jack Swagger, The Miz, Evan Bourne, Rey Mysterio, Alex Riley, and Kofi Kingston. Now, that's a hell of a field, so EJ, who you got?
Well, I go back to my theory of who needs it the most. I don't think Alex Riley is ready. We talked about that. Rey Mysterio is a former world champion, obviously, so doesn't need it. Jack Swagger's already, and The Miz both have won Money in the Bank and cashed in, so I kind of cast them by the wayside. You have R-Truth, who just came out of the main event program and was elevated. Seriously, I don't think he needs it. Evan Bourne, they're not going to give it to him because he's, for all intents and purposes, a cruiserweight. So that leaves me with, I guess, two individuals. Kofi Kingston, who's been chasing the United States title unsuccessfully on Raw, and Alberto Del Rio. I don't think they're going to give it to Kofi for the simple fact that if they have him chasing Dolph Ziggler and he can't beat Ziggler, how are they going to have enough confidence in him to win Money in the Bank? So I looked to Del Rio. He won the Rumble. That didn't work out for him because he lost to Edge when everybody thought he was going to go over. He lost to Christian. He was involved in a feud with the Big Show that was pretty unspectacular. He's just been kind of floating around. He was named the number one contender after winning the Triple Threat match. I think that kind of tipped their hand. I'm going to say Del Rio wins it, and I will save my prediction for that for later.
Let's see. As Fatboy and Jim are also picking Del Rio. Brian?
Well, I've been reading stories that apparently they want to put Alberto Del Rio into the SummerSlam championship match. So if they want to build him, now would be the good time to do it. But if they're saving him for that, why give him the briefcase? So I'm going to go with the dark horse. I'm going to say, and you're going to think I'm crazy, I'm going to say Kofi.
That's not crazy. A little racist, but not crazy.
I'm not a racist.
No, I'm just a dark horse.
I know you are. But really, I mean, if they really want to put Del Rio into the SummerSlam match, then I don't think they're going to have him win Money in the Bank. So I think it'll be Kofi Kingston.
And funny as it sounds, I'm going to go with you with Kofi Kingston only because we discussed scenarios at the beginning of the show, and if Punk pulls off his win, and they want to do a cash-in, they've got to use a Raw guy, and they're not going to do heel-heel. That's not how you end a pay-per-view. So, put me down for Kofi. So that takes care of that. All right. Next, we have the World Heavyweight title match, Randy Orton versus Christian. Christian has gone into full crybaby mode and has been chasing Randy Orton, claiming that he can beat him, has given us some wonderful mic work of his own. It's shattered only by Punk, who's been knocking it out of the park for the last few weeks. Christian has thrown some stipulations at Randy Orton that if he is disqualified or if there are shady ref shenanigans, that he will be awarded the World Heavyweight Championship. That's not going to help you, Christian. Do you agree with me, Brian?
I don't. I really think they're going to put the belt on Christian this time. Well, for twofold. Number one, I had a hunch that when the Christian two-day title reign happened, that they had bigger things planned for him. And I think this is part of the situation there. Also, I honestly think that with all the crap Randy's been saying in the media, I think maybe the people in charge might want to teach him a lesson. So I think Randy Orton's going to lose. I think Christian's going to win the title.
DJ?
I think Christian wins as well. My reasoning being that they've been going back and forth. Randy Orton has basically won every rematch since Randy Orton won the title on that edition of Friday Night SmackDown. But I think that they're playing to the final match in this protracted series throughout the summer is going to be at SummerSlam. And I don't think that they're going to have Christian going in chase mode going into SummerSlam and then winning the belt at their arguably second biggest pay-per-view of the year. So that's why I think that Christian is going to win via the shenanigans stipulation. He'll go into WrestleMania, wishful thinking. He'll go into SummerSlam as the World Heavyweight Champion, and that's where Randy will defeat him to get the belt back. So I agree with Brian. I think Christian is going to win here.
I think you guys are convincing me. I'll go ahead and pick Christian, and I think he's going to get it on the DQ. I think he's actually going to push Randy Orton over the edge. So, let's see. Now, we're going to have to discuss the main event in the archive, which we'll be doing momentarily. And with that, we are in archive. Because we're going to need a lot of time to talk about this main event, a two-pointer.
We going into overtime, baby.
So, John Cena and CM Punk. Who thought that we were going to be jumping up and down about this feud? The thought that CM Punk, this could be his last match with WWE, and that he has been given the opportunity to say on the microphone that he could take that belt, go to New Japan, go to Ring of Honor. Hell, obscure fact, CM Punk wrestled for Insanity Pro Wrestling. He could show up there with the belt, and I'd miss it, damn it.
Just but your rotten luck.
Of course, this would be my absolute rotten luck. If CM Punk wins, he walks away with the belt, and John Cena is fired. John Cena wins, it's status quo. CM Punk walks away, and there will be another fire in Chicago. So, here is my two-pointer, and this might cause a delay in the final scores. Who wins is point one. Point two. Let's see, should I do point two? Will there be a cash in? So Brian, I'll start with you.
You'd have to start with me, wouldn't you? Okay. I think the mark in me really thinks that they're going to hammer out a deal at the 11th hour and CM Punk's going to stay. And he will lose this match and then come out the next week on Raw and say, I'm not leaving without the WWE title. And if it means I have to stay in this cesspool, then I will. So the mark in me thinks that's going to happen. The smark in me thinks that they're going to let CM Punk win and then do an automatic cash-in. But I really, really don't know how to play this one.
I can come back to you.
Would you? Because I need to think this over for a second, hon.
Not a problem. DJ?
Nikki, I wanted to point out to you first before going into my pick'em. You mentioned that CM Punk wrestled for IPW and he could actually bring the WWE Championship to IPW. He also wrestled for another promotion that we are both familiar with, that we've both been to one of their events. He wrestled for the IWC, the International Wrestling Cartel that operates out of the Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. And I want to make one point. April 26, 2002, almost 9 years ago, more than 9 years ago, on their show was headlined by a WWE wrestler who defended his WWE Intercontinental Championship outside of WWE on an IWC show. It was Intercontinental Champion Eddie Guerrero wrestled IWC Heavyweight Champion CM Punk to a time limit draw. And Eddie Guerrero defeated CM Punk in a non-title overtime. So there is precedent for a WWE Championship being defended outside of the WWE fourth wall, so to speak, and CM Punk was involved in that match, so there's a little food for thought there. Here's my scenario. I say that CM Punk, yes, does win the WWE Championship thanks to shenanigans involved by basically an invasion of ROH guys / disgruntled WWE employees. I'm talking about Colt Cabana, Luke Gallows, and the King of Wrestling helping CM Punk to win the WWE title. Then the WWE locker room comes out and all chaos erupts. Bodies are flying everywhere. In the middle of the melee, John Cena hits CM Punk with an attitude adjustment, and you hear that music, Alberto Del Rio comes down and cashes in and wins the WWE Championship, thus keeping the WWE Championship on WWE television, keeping Cena his job, and then that gets Del Rio to SummerSlam for his match with John Cena in chase mode. And Nikki, one of the points that you mentioned is they won't do heel-heel to close. You're forgetting that CM Punk is in Chicago, and he's going to be cheered like a face. So I'm thinking it's going to be heel-face. I think that's how you get Del Rio and Cena to SummerSlam, and with the hook being that, hey, I got you your championship because I was the one that gave the attitude adjustment to CM Punk that allowed you to win. And also you kind of have people there to kind of hold over the Punk storyline until he takes his 2 to 3 month break. You have Cabana, Gallows, and the Kings of Wrestling as their own little mini stable that wreaks havoc on the WWE in Punk's absence until he comes back. So that's my wishful thinking, but the results could still stay the same.
Right. Now, you misinterpret, DJ. What I'm talking about is that I don't think there should be a heel Money in the Bank winner regardless, because Cena is a face and Punk's going in as a face. So you can't have a heel go in there, because I think I'm confident enough in Punk's mic abilities that he can even turn a hometown Chicago crowd against him. If he can get everybody in Boston to boo Cena, which granted that is the smart side of the country, but the fact that he got everybody in Boston booing the hell out of Cena, he can probably find a way to get all of Chicago to boo the hell out of him. He could get he got a Philadelphia crowd to cheer him over DX in 2006.
Well, I don't think that no matter what he does, people have already made up their minds. He's not gonna. He might not even have any mic time at all. And if he does, it's gonna be maybe a five minute promo in the back somewhere. So I don't know how much time he's actually gonna have to turn them.
We'll see. But for the sake of story, if a story has to be told, and if they really want me to go, where do they go from here? Punk has to win. Cena has to get fired. There will not be a cash-in. And that's really what it's going to take for me to say, now what do we do? Because wouldn't it be sick? I'll take somebody else's scenario here. Del Rio wins the Money in the Bank. Punk wins the belt and gets to walk away with it. Del Rio comes out with the briefcase tomorrow on Monday Night Raw and says, I let him go because I am going to buy us a new championship. And since I bought it and I have this briefcase, I will be champion, fulfilling his own destiny. Wouldn't that be freaking awesome?
Yeah, it would.
As long as it's not the spinner belt, that would be great.
And I almost think the whole reason we're doing this, even John Cena wants this belt to go away, I think. I know there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years that they've needed to change that belt up.
It's a monstrosity.
Well, apparently Triple H is sick of it, and he wants rid of it, and we all know he's essentially the second in command to Vince.
I hate to say it, but Hunter does have a little bit of taste.
A lot of people make the point, though. They keep saying repeatedly, well, it's something that makes money. It's something that makes money. Why get rid of it if it makes money? Well, wouldn't you think if you got a new WWE championship, people that had the old one would then buy the new one? I mean, it's kind of like with Cena. He changes his T-shirt every 6 months. You know, they don't keep him wearing the same T-shirt because the current T-shirt makes money. People will buy whatever it is because it's John Cena. So people will buy a new belt just because it's a new belt.
Right. And Hunter's going to be in there changing things up anyway. We know he will.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
I love that soundbite.
And I just, you know, if his Majesty the Evil Dr. Levesque will, it will happen. And more power to him, because yeah, the belt was awesome when it came out. Don't get me wrong. I had the good fortune of having a super fan, Skinny John, sent me a picture, because he actually went to the SmackDown, when the SmackDown show that it was unveiled, and sent me a picture of it. So I was one of these 10,000-15,000 people who actually got a good look at this thing. And yeah, it was an awesome thing when it was first introduced. I still feel that they really dropped the ball after Edge, when he took the W out and put his own logo in there. They could have done that with everybody else who held that belt and made some money selling switch out plates. And they would have gotten a lot of mileage out of this belt. But they didn't do that. I just thought that was a crying shame. A belt that is that customizable, where I could have bought it, and I could have bought a yin-yang to put in the middle of it to symbolize RVD's one-month title reign, where you could have, you know, somebody else could have gotten it and had gotten the Apex Predator logo or the gas mask for Randy Orton, or the crown skull and the cross sledgehammers for Triple H. You know, take your pick.
Are you sure it was a gas mask? I thought it would be poop in a Prada bag.
I'm only going off the merchandise. What he does backstage is his own. Besides, they call that T-shirt lobotomy, so I thought it was more than appropriate.
The one point I wanted to make, though, is that people are sick of John Cena. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree.
And I wholeheartedly. The spinner belt, no matter how long it's been around and who has held the belt, and people go, well, it doesn't spin anymore. Yeah, but it's still the spinner belt, and that is associated most often with John Cena. That would be like the Smoke and Skull belt still being around now, and you know,
right.
And having them use that as the belt.
Right, so I have a feeling what the Evil Doc has in mind is that we are going to get rid of that spinner belt, and I think they're going to try to do something a little more retro, symbolic of the original of the Winged Eagle belt that was used during the Attitude Era leading up to, you know, or maybe a variant of the Undisputed belt that Brock Lesnar ended up with, the one that Bradshaw and Eddie Guerrero were carrying around.
And I liked it, by the way, if we're being obvious, if being honest. I loved the heck out of that belt.
So an amalgam, say, of the Winged Eagle and the Undisputed belt, I think they could get something that we could really get some mileage out of. Oh, I cannot believe that I am still awake.
Yeah, but you're an hour behind us, so you have an extra hour.
Yes, but I've also been up since the butt crack at dawn.
Ah.
Because my current work schedule involves 10 and 12-hour shifts.
Hmm.
This week I work 3 10s and 2 12s, and I've got a 6 tomorrow. And it's going to keep me pretty darn occupied. So to all of my Haymanites in the Minnesota area, my apologies that I will not be at the SmackDown taping in Minneapolis on Tuesday. If I had planned a little better, I might have been able to make that show.
Well, honey, you can't win them all.
No, but I'll get them the next time they come through. But I think we've done enough damage for one night, gentlemen. What do you think?
I forgot to give my picks.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes, you're right. So, Cena Punk.
Okay, I'm gonna agree with you. I think that Punk is gonna win for the storyline's sake. and they are going to not have a cash-in. I think you're right.
So, but either way, I still think they're going to come up with a pretty killer answer. And I'm going to make a hell of a Sunday out of it because I'm going to do what I would have done anyway. If I were in Columbus, I would be probably either going over to the Super Seafood Buffet around the corner from my place or ordering in from local mom-and-pop operation Macy's. However, there is a pizza. There's a pizza chain here called Chanticleer's that I'm going to go ahead and give some business to because they're just up the street. I mean, I could walk to this place.
I will be with Stat Boy, Josh Hanager. We're going to go down to our old haunt in Bowling Green, Ohio, home of the BGSU Falcons. There's a place down there. It's a nightclub slash bar called Uptown Downtown. I think Uptown is the club and Downtown is the bar. And they have WWE pay-per-views on all the flat-screen TVs and big-screen TVs. And good food to mention. And I will be wearing my Ring of Honor CM Punk T-shirt to the festivities. So if there are little children Cena fans, I hope that they leave unhappy, and I will mock them.
Ah, you did remind me. I have found my bright red CM Punk Straight Edge Society T-shirt.
I bet you found a lot of things cleaning out the old Heyman haunt.
Oh, my Lord, the things that I found.
Actually, by the way,
Yeah.
I know we're trying to wind down the show, but I know you had a Facebook message where you said something about WWE magazines. Did you end up taking those to Half Price Books?
No, here's what happened. I got in touch with a worker buddy of mine who lives in Reynoldsburg, and I've dealt with a lot at IWA in Chillicothe. He came up and bought the whole mess. He took the whole mess off my hands for $50 cash.
Oh, cool. Because I know that the one that I used to go to when I was in Columbus on Lane Avenue had a bunch of old wrestling mags. The last time I was there, I bought out the whole lot. And just as luck would have it, I got a coupon in the mail for like 50% off your whole order from Half Price Books. So the next time I'm driving through Columbus, I was thinking about using that at that location. So I was just wondering if there were any wrestling. There will probably still be some wrestling mags in there, but they won't be yours, I guess.
Can I just say that I love the old After mags, if only for the ads that were in them.
I've got a shit ton of Inside Wrestling and PWIs from the early 90s and late 80s and The Wrestler and...
Well, what got me about them was how, they would often, I remember one of the After mags, I want to say it was Inside Wrestling. It's the one that had Liz Hunter doing her weekly column, or monthly column, I should say, and they would try to sell, like, softcore women's porn as women's wrestling.
I must have completely tuned that out as a little kid. I just remember, I used like the rankings, the wrestler rankings. In the back of the mags, and then they had the results from every single show, which I mean, in the pre-internet days, was pretty big. So,
well, the magazines in general were mostly Raw and SmackDown magazines starting around 2002. Some PWI, some Inside Wrestling, and probably a good chunk of the newer WWE magazine run. There were probably some odds and ends magazines from the mid-90s and a couple from the Attitude Era, but it was just boxes that I did not want to be hauling along with me. But there was a magazine I kept out of the stack of the actual magazines, and there was a magazine separate from all of them that I was glad that I finally found. The one magazine I kept was a late 2007 edition of the WWE magazine with a spoiler cover.
I remember this one. It's not having to do with a plug and spiky hair. and a glittery vest.
And yeah, so he was wearing a shiny vest, and I was ready for the shiny. I was still big on Donald Trump.
Somebody making popcorn?
No, that was me typing on my keyboard. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. So I kept that one just for the shits and giggles. The other magazine that I found, and I even know which box it's in right now, is a 2003 roster book that WWE published magazine style. It's not as the new ones with the practically laminated pages. But this book is full of autographs.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
This was from my earlier travels. It was a gal that I traveled with to several shows, and we were able to get a pretty good stack of autographs. There's one on there that unfortunately has since wiped off. The only McMahon that I was ever able to catch, and that was Shano. And that was just a lucky break getting a Wheeling House show way too damn early.
That was in October of 2003, and I remember because I was there.
And the other thing that I remember most from this show was afterwards. Did you stick around after the show?
Yes, I did.
You remember that madhouse of a crowd?
Well, what I remember is they used to open up one of the corners of the arena there for people to go out and smoke. I don't smoke,
yeah.
But the smoking area had steps that led down right to the locker room door. And the main event was the one with the Dudleys, Booker T, Shano versus La Resistance, Christian, and Jericho. Am I right?
Wasn't Tess involved in this one? This was when he broke his foot or something?
I don't remember if he was involved or not, but the undercard main event was Goldberg and Shawn Michaels teaming up against Flair, Batista, and Orton, correct?
I think it was just Flair and Batista.
Okay, so it was those two. It was basically Evolution versus Michaels and Goldberg. And I just remember going out there because that's when basically those four guys all got into the same limo while the main was going on. So I actually missed the first part of that. But I do remember the next night on Raw, because it was a Sunday house show, the next day on Raw was in Pittsburgh, and the exact same angle to start the show with Shane O'Mac coming back, and somebody else made a comeback. Was it Booker T?
Booker T. The reason I brought it up was just after the show, Booker T and RVD left together. And they drove past the throng, and everybody's begging these guys to get out and sign autographs. So I was doing my part, and I was holding up an RVD poster, which I had held up during the show, and Rob had pointed out. They drove away, not signing any autographs, which, of course, got everybody a little frustrated. The gal that I was traveling with at the time, actually, we'd come up separately. She essentially told me that she was going to chase them to Pittsburgh, mainly because she had a thing for Renee Dupree. And Rene Dupree had a thing for everybody, and he showed it. Never mind. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up, but
that was my bad Booker impersonation. Sorry.
No. You're fine. I could do a little bit better than that. Give me a second. And the stupid search function doesn't work, but never mind. Point of my story was I was putting my posters back together, and one of the security guards comes pushing through the crowd. And he says, "Was that your poster?" I said, "Yes, it was." And he says, "Well, Rob told me to give you this," and handed me wrist tape. Specifically, wrist get cut off of Rob's hand after his match. One of two sets that I probably own.
That was after Tony Atlas scolded him for wearing it, right?
This was 2003, man.
I'm just making, that's the standard wrist tape joke and whole punk Atlas deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do remember that now. But no, that was, between that and the fact that I had got an autograph that day, in fact, did I get Goldberg that day?
I got Goldberg's.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I think I ended up getting his autograph because you remember this. Goldberg and all of them got out of the same limo, and everybody was trying to get him to come over. Goldberg starts walking over the other streets up into the building.
Oh, my Lord.
What's up?
Get to the crap forums.
Why? What happened?
Nothing bad, I guess. They're leading the first thread in the WWE section is new look for the Undertaker. Asterisk pick inside asterisk. Oh
yeah,
my Lord!
I'm gonna look there right now.
Oh my! I don't know. I hope that's not him.
Am I going to regret this?
I don't know. He's fully clothed, so that's not a worry.
I'm pulling it up right now. Let me see.
They're full of shit. That is not him.
He looks like Marky Mark.
Wow.
No, he looks like Kid Rock is going to look in about 10 years.
Five.
Excuse
wow,
me.
Wow, does he look old?
Hipster Taker. No, stop that. Damn you, forums.
I don't know if that's him or not. Did the tattoos match up?
Let me look again. The neck tattoo doesn't look right. And his sleeves are so dizzy. It's almost as bad as Orton's. I could, you know, if you showed me just the arms, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
The front of the face looks like him, but there's no hair whatsoever.
That's what makes it even creepier, the fact that he's bald.
He doesn't wear those types of hats, and he always wears like a do-rag and like an Affliction shirt. He wouldn't wear like a loose shirt like that to me. I don't.
Yeah, I think somebody's being.
Wow.
No, somebody's being silly. That can't be him.
Holy
yeah, the
cow.
More I look at it, yeah, the more I look at it, I don't think it's him.
It's like we're discussing 1994 SummerSlam promos with Leslie Nielsen. Is that the Undertaker? No, that's not him. I don't think that's him.
Oh, by the way, Nikki, real quick,
go ahead.
Brian.
No, all I had to say was I have that shirt. But go ahead, Brian.
You were talking about the WWE magazine that had the spoiler. I got one for you. Do you remember back SummerSlam 1992 when there was all of this confusion as to what the main event was going to be, and they said, next week, live on Superstars, we will announce the main event of rest of SummerSlam 92. And it was like, oh, amazing. That week, WWE magazine came out, a good 5 days before the announcement. On the back it said, main event will be Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage.
Yikes.
I'm like, way to drop the ball there, guys.
Before, it was before I started watching, but that's pretty much the same thing that happened with Jericho Mag. And just, you know, it just, like I said, I just started cracking up when somebody posted the pic of the mag, and then I got mine like the following day. Mm-hmm. And just shook another disbelief. I also had gotten in a huge argument with somebody on the boards over how I was having fun trying to break a code that may or may not be there. They're like, well, that's stupid, you're wasting your time. Well, if I'm having fun, I'm not wasting my time. You guys are the ones that are wasting your time bitching about a show. Watch.
Precisely.
So. All right, gentlemen, I hate to do this, but I've been up since 6 o'clock my time.
Get you some sleep.
So I would like a little bit of sleep because I do have to work a short shift tomorrow. But I hope that you guys enjoy the pay-per-view. I know I will be enjoying it, or at least trying to. It's better with the living room full of people, but I don't know anybody in this complex yet, so.
All right. Well, can I really, really, really quickly, I want to give a really brief shout-out.
Sure.
I have a very dear friend of mine from one of my last jobs, my friend Hallie Federholt. She's going to be listening into the show tonight, and she'll be hearing it on archive. I want to say, Hallie, I miss you, sweetheart, and I love you, girl.
Awesome.
Did you well done. No. Sad DJ is sad.
And Confused Brian is confused.
And Tired Nikki is very tired. So, gentlemen, I am going to call it a night.
Night, Nikki. God bless you.
Night, Brian.
Night, everybody.
And
it was fun.
Good night, John Boy.
Him too.
See ya.
Night, folks.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.